Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective. Jesse Thorne out this week. So when he's gone, I kind of like to, share my other passions. I mean, you know, with Jesse, it's kind of just like a fun, goofy chat show. But when it's just me, I mean, I like to get a little bit more serious. And I think that people know that, you know, in addition to podcasting and, you know, comedy writing, comedy performing, my true passion is agitprop slam poetry. And so I think for the next 90 minutes, I'm just going to, like, drop some knowledge bombs on you guys. And I hope that you're mentally ready for it. So here's my first piece. Russia, no collusion, but Trump, he's causing me confusion. No, never mind. I'm not going to do that. I have two guests who I like a lot, who might drop some knowledge bombs on you. We'll see. The first one is a writer whose work you might have seen on television programs like Awkward and The Following. The two credits, she says, are her least embarrassing. Liz Scudlow, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My other guest is another writer whose work you might have seen on Conan. And, of course, he's the creator of the criminally underseen, hilariously, funnily hilarious Moonbeam City on Comedy Central, RIP. Scott Gardner. Hi, Scott.
Hey, hi. Thanks so much. Thank you for that credit. I'm glad it's touted as criminal. Yes. Actual criminal.
Someone should have been locked up.
I don't want to get into it. Something shady is going on with Sumner Redstone and Philippe Daumont and the whole Viacom. Look, I want to keep doing business with Viacom, but even still, there may be something criminal, but not specifically related to Moonbeam City. It was a fun cartoon I had a lot of fun making.
Sure,
No one thrown under the bus for that.
This is interesting. Liz, I think, is probably the first guest we've ever had in the history of Jordan Jesse Go who is in the booth wearing a medal. You are literally wearing a medal around your neck. You're wearing a jeans, trainers, a smart sweater that I think has patches on the elbows.
It sure does.
And also a medal. Mm-hmm. Tell us about where you got this, how you got this, and why you think it's okay to wear during a podcast.
It was in my purse, and okay. I just, you know, it leaped out into my hand and then around my neck somehow.
I think that just happens with medals.
I ran a half marathon this morning. Wow. Run is like a generous term for walking.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It was awful. It was so bad.
How many half marathons is this for you? And have you done a full marathon?
Yes. I've done three or four full marathons. I don't know how many halves.
And I am not a run man. I don't like it.
No, nor can't help you out on that one.
It's not fun. But something that makes me want to become a run man is when I see like Facebook ads and like posts for these runs where people will, like, pelt you with colored sand.
Oh, the powder, yes.
Or, you know, some sort of themed marathon. I think there's one that runs through Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done something like this, or are your marathons more just a straight shot where no one hurls anything at you?
I did a zombie run. A couple of years ago, I did, like, the zombie, I guess it was a 10K down in Temecula.
I have also seen that and wanted to do that.
I got pink eye.
Really?
How do you because you have to. So you're it's like flag football where you have flags attached to your waist,
mm-hmm.
and you're running from zombies, and you have three flags, and if they get all three, then you're dead. The zombies have killed you.
Right.
But while you're running from the zombies,
you have to hide in feces.
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's like mud pits that are like, you know, boobs deep. You have to wade through,
sure.
And there's like water things you have to splash through, and like, I don't know, weird structures you have to climb over. So I think in one of them, they had these like live wires that would electrocute you, and you'd lay
Like, really?
Yes. They're not like kill you, but
sure,
like shock you. Like
really?
The horse ones.
Like the horse ones?
Yeah, if you remember, like a horse farm, you know, and that's how they keep the horses.
Okay.
Okay, all right, I'm from these.
Well, a Jurassic Park type
Jurassic
electrified.
Park, thank you.
Okay, there
like
we go.
Big horses.
Yeah, that's what they are, yes, dinosaurs.
So this is it's fun for running enthusiasts, death for horses.
Right, exactly. No, so you had to lay on your stomach in like mud and just like wiggle underneath the wires, otherwise you'd get shocked.
Sure.
And I got like a lot of mud in my face, and I think that's how I got pink eye. It was awful.
It seems like it, yeah.
So now I just do like normal.
But then you
like
got to stay home
marathons.
From school for a week.
Right.
Which is kind of a hoot.
School of television writing.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about in addition to having recently run a marathon, is a recent wedding that you had to your husband.
Yeah.
It's all yours.
I see. But I also wanted to open up the theme of weddings by asking Scott if I'm remembering this correctly about you. Scott, am I remembering correctly about you that one of the dances at your wedding, I don't know if it was the dance.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Was to the Wendy's Hot Drinks song?
That's correct. yes.
So first, I know what the Wendy's Hot Drinks song is.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain it to people who might not know YouTube videos from the late 90s?
Alphabetically, as encyclopedically as I do. This was a fascination down in the basement at Funny or Die, where I worked for a long time. I might credit Nick Carosi for exposing me to it. But it's like a really great like training video that's a rap that's specifically about how you pour hot drinks at a Wendy's location. Like, there's a lot of really specific, like, how the lid is put on and how many twists and like fill the coffee up into the line. It's that, like, I'm trying to remember more lyrics of it, but it's like,
please sing more.
Hot drinks really get you going, warm you up when you feel you're slow, and Wendy's. It's like, this is what I'm saying though, is that it's really hooky. It's like it's an
clearly
awesome song performed by a super charismatic dude. The singer is great. He pops on camera. It's like way better than it has a right to be. Definitely a little Michael Jackson biting. There's even like a woo at the end. But like, fantastic song, honestly. And there was also a cold drinks done at the same time, perhaps on the same video. Cold drinks not as notable. Hot drinks takes the cake over cold drinks big time.
I mean, I think that's what all, when you know, when music nerds are sitting around in their dorms hitting their bongs. All right, guys, Beatles or Stones, hot drinks or cold drinks? These are the two questions.
Is Paul dead? And is the cold drinks guy dead? amazing song. And I like, my wife super on board with this as well. We made a real point of, if we're going to have a lot of friends at a party, it's not often that you have control over the DJ situation.
Yeah.
And we really made a point of, you have to play. It was one of our must plays.
Sure.
And the DJ, super confused by it initially, a very nice Fullerton man from named Dennis, who was like really trying to wrap his
Fullerton
head around.
Dennis. Fullerton Dennis. Yeah, I know Dennis. Fullerton Dennis.
You got a wedding or event or bar mitzvah coming up, hit up Fullerton Dennis. But he was trying to get a read of our music taste and like maybe a little bit of Bob Marley. We're by the beach, you can do a little Bob Marley. And we're like, no, we are doing the Wendy's Hot Drink song, and that's what it is.
And no Bob Marley.
Certainly not. No, it became on the no play list. Once strict as the no-fly list. But we wanted that to be played, and he did wrap his head around it and did, right towards the end of the wedding, mixed it perfectly into Prince's Erotic City.
Wow.
One of my favorite songs in the world.
Fullerton
and
Dennis.
He really pulled it out. One of the best mixes I've ever heard. It was a real triumph of the wedding. And we also made a video that projected off of Fullerton Dennis's projection screen, another thing Fullerton Dennis offers.
Yeah.
We just made a video of like a lot of like, you know, weird, like weird old videos like hot drinks or weird old theme park stuff. And I think around when that mix was happening, it was synced up to in Star Tours, the Disneyland ride, where the Death Star is blown up. So we're cheering the Death Star being blown up as we're mixing from hot drinks into Prince. My wedding was bliss. I loved my wedding.
Yeah, it sounds.
I'm being transported back there right now, and I'm very happy.
Was the hot drinks the only, like, left of center wedding song that you had in there? Or did you also have like Chocolate Rain and
no other particular internet
Rebecca Black's Friday?
It's getting close to that kind of thing though. The other one actually was a admittedly was a request of my own song, which is myself, Nick Carassi, who I mentioned, and Charles Ingram, both Funny or Die writers with me. At Funny or Die, we had a boy band that we did several music videos for called Sugar Rush. Uh-huh. We made a song called Hanging Out with Friends, which was taken. At Funny or Die, we had access to a public domain, not a public domain, but like a royalty free music library, mm-hmm. and we would write songs over these instrumental tracks. So we made this boy band song literally because there was another video unrelated where they just needed to cut to a video and say, boy, that sucks. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, do you want to make something that sucks to put in this video?
Sure.
Yes, we do. And we made an entire like 3-minute boy band thing. So that was the other request. Was our own song Sugar Rush's Hanging Out with Friends, and we ended it became kind of an impromptu performance, a Sugar Rush reunion at our wedding. look that one at when you if you ask at the end, do you have anything to plug? I will only I
plug
have nothing
wedding videos,
but watch the video of my wedding. Yeah. No, check out Sugar Rush Hanging Out with Friends, which was technically for a Pepsi Max branded video. I don't even know what Pepsi Max is. It's some obscure subsect of Pepsi.
I think it was the short-lived injectable Pepsi. It was the Pepsi that came with a syringe and a colorful rubber band. And you find a vein and you just...
A spoon, if you wanted to do it that way.
Sure,
there's several options. Anyway, I think Pepsi Max might own our boy band song, but we played it at our wedding and didn't pay Pepsi a cent.
When you talk about those music libraries, I had a job for a while where I had access to one of those music libraries.
Oh, congrats.
And I really liked, like, you would put in the name of, like, a popular artist, and then you would get people trying to approximate that artist. Like, you need something like... You know, this. If you need something like Prince, if you need something like Taylor Swift, you would type that in and then you would get, you know, some guy, you know, who's, I imagine, in a basement in Van Nuys just doing blow and recording as many, like, and I will always remember, and I have not been able to find this. If anybody has access to a royalty free music library, please look this up for me and send me an MP3. I was looking for something that sounded like YMCA, like Village People. Mm-hmm. And I got something called Big Man on the Block. And it was this, you know, you got a funky disco beat, you know, four on the floor. And you have this guy with this imposing voice going, I'm the big man on the block. Here I come. Here I come. It was like a man bursting into your house and then ejaculating.
Waking you up middle of the night. Hey, look at this before
it's
you know
me,
it.
The big man from the block.
Okay, you are. I believe you. Oh my God, that's insane.
Use that take, he said. I'm sure none of these had a second take.
I really got there on that one. Made it to that place.
I actually ejaculated.
The pleasures of royalty-free. Why listen to regular music if you have that special password?
Well, you can save on royalties, too.
Yeah, that, too. It's cost-effective.
Liz, the novelty at your wedding that I wanted to mention was that you had a wedding that had animal friends at it.
It sure did.
Yeah. How does one arrange an animal friend heavy wedding?
First, be as broke as possible.
Okay.
Our venue.
I would think it would cost more.
You would think. No, we you know, we were trying to have like an affordable wedding.
Sure.
And so we ended up. If you have like a petting zoo party for your kid, and they bring like a llama and a goat to your house or whatever, this is where the llama and the goat sleep at night.
Oh.
So it's like a private,
like a dorm.
Yeah, it's like an animal dorm. it's like a private ranch where this family, this like really lovely family, lives, and it's just sort of like a big open space. You can do whatever you want with it. But there's like animals everywhere. And for like $150, we could have a petting zoo during cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm.
And for $200, we could have a zebra in all of our wedding photos.
Shit, dude.
Yeah.
That's an easy $200.
Yeah. I mean, the downside was like right in the middle of the vows, the mini donkey began braying. So it was like, Kenny, I promise to be your partner. Like literally, like exactly. It was like a cartoon donkey.
Wow.
He didn't buy your vows, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
And I mean, it seems like, you know, like, obviously, none of us here are shallow people. I don't know about you guys, but one of my hobbies is being present in the moment.
What? What'd you say?
Scott, man, get off your little hypno box. Get out of Snapchat.
Bad emails, man. What do you want out of me?
But I would imagine that one takes a certain amount of pride in having a well-Instagrammed wedding or a well-posted about wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that in wanting to have an affordable wedding and finding this petting zoo zone,
mm-hmm.
that you may have purposefully or not purposefully created perhaps the most Instagrammable wedding of all time.
You would think that.
Yeah.
Snapchat fucking killed my wedding. Everyone's snapping everything, and then 6 seconds later it was gone. Or whatever. I don't know how Snapchat
works. So any kind of tally you wanted to maybe get was fucking Snapchatted out the window.
Snapchatted away. Yeah, because one of my girlfriends made like a personalized wedding Snapchat filter, and so everyone was using it. And then the next day, there were no photos of my wedding.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
It was like Kenny and Liz. Yeah. Hee-haw.
Yeah, exactly. We also had a song. This story will tell you everything you need to know about me.
Oh, boy.
2 years ago, Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees.
Ah.
You don't need to clarify. We both know who you're talking about.
not Drew Lachey. Let's be careful here.
He made a cover song album with all sorts of cover songs that has disappeared from the internet. You cannot find it anymore.
Oh, boy.
And so the only song I wanted to hear at my wedding was Nick Lachey's cover of Falling Slowly from the musical Once. And our DJ spent like 3 weeks trying to track it down. So I literally had to stop the dance floor and walk over with my cell phone, where I still have the song, obviously, so we could plug my cell phone in so I could dance my wedding to Nick Lachey's cover of Falling Slowly from Once. It was amazing.
You know, when I want to find a Nick Lachey deep cut, I just go to the Mortons where he's parking cars. He usually has a flash drive. Yeah. Or a CDR with him. You might have to go to his car to get it. But
it's just a big pile in the trunk.
Yeah, I think I got one.
700 CDs.
Do you have any idea why this album was scrubbed?
No, and I Googled it, but it turns out no one else cares but me. So there's not even like a Reddit chain about it.
Pure apathy.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
But they also pulled it out of my computer or iTunes. Like, it's no longer in my computer.
Because it kind of claimed things that you downloaded when that reorganization happened. All the files got... Yeah, yeah.
I can never sync my phone again. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my Nick Lachey cover album.
So you won't update...
No, I can't.
Man. That's really funny.
What is it about this song? Is it a... Is there an ironic appreciation? Is it legitimate appreciation? How do you... How do you feel about Nick Lachey's cover from Once?
Like, it makes me want to... I mean, it's like a little... It's like somewhere in between those two things. Like, I want to, like... I, like, listen to it and cry on the floor, and then I want to write, like, an epic romance novel.
Okay.
That's the mood of this man.
Gotcha.
That's my favorite thing, is if it's, like, especially if something starts as, like, ironic appreciation but becomes real, or if something that's, like, dancing between the two, because I hate if I get written off as, like, you like bad things, mm-hmm. or so bad it's good. And it's not quite, like, it's kind of hard to attach yourself to something that just sucks.
Right.
Like, if you don't, there's got to be some transcendent quality, which I think a lot of bad things people would call bad have.
Right. Like, if there's no one else in the room, I just deeply love it. And if there are other people in the room, it's totally ironic. It's really where I land.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm making fun of it. It's not really.
Yeah. It's so cheesy, guys.
On this note, do you guys want to come over and watch Demolition Man? And then Face Off.
Yes.
And then 4 Fast and Furious movies. How did your respective spouses feel about the addition of these songs? Were both of them okay with it? Was anybody weird? Did anyone have to be talked into it?
No. Aaron, totally on board. Like, big fan of hot drinks. Big fan of my boy band, especially. Oh, please, you have to do Sugar. I'm trying to think if there was any like point of contention. We pretty much agree. In fact, that video that I referred to, I don't think it made it to that. We put too much on the video, so the dance time like outlasted the video was longer than the dance floor was open. But we ended up just the end of it was about 25 minutes of a movie called Cocaine One Man's Seduction.
Oh boy, a
TV movie. Starring Dennis Weaver, who was on Gunsmoke and is the star of the movie Duel, Spielberg's original movies. Kind of like, you know, a crusty looking mustachioed character actor guy. But it's this movie is just like full of, it's supposed to be warning you about the dangers of cocaine. He's like a guy, kind of a listless businessman who's trying to get vigor in his life, and somebody like gives, actually, young Jeffrey Tambor gives him coke at a party, and then it like turns his life around. He's got energy. Everything's different. But then Tambor, like the canary in the coal mine, like takes a dive, and he's crazy and sweating. And you got to help me. And then the same thing happens to Weaver. But anyway, it's supposed to
Tambor,
be.
By the way,
please. Oh, that was bad. That was like Don Pardo.
musical guest, my cocaine habit.
With Dennis Weaver. It's a movie about like warning you about the dangers of cocaine, but it's also just like full of dope 80s architecture and cool looking parties. And it's like what we wanted our party to look like, basically. And we were at this venue that sort of hasn't changed since the early 80s in Laguna Beach. So we're like, yeah, let's. The fact that Aaron was down with like.
I bet I could see you guys playing that and then Fullerton Dennis coming over and going, oh, hey, you can see me in this. Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, there's Jeffrey.
This is my big break. Wow. Yeah. filmed in Fullerton Dennis's backyard.
So it seems like you and your wife, who I've met a couple of times, mm-hmm. Like kind of bonded over this stuff. Like this is something, this kind of, teetering between bad, good, ephemera type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You guys both like a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot in that category, and especially in the, like this early 80s vibe, and my show Moonbeam City was this sort of neon 80s throwback Yeeb show. We're definitely like obsessed with weird old garbage and cool kind of discarded aesthetics. And actually before, like, both of us were involved in the early days of The Room. We knew each other in high school, but we weren't dating yet, but we were like, that movie came out at the theater closest to us in the valley where we grew up, and like that was some of the first that we ever hung out was early screenings of
The Room.
Throwing spoons.
Wow,
my friend Michael Rousselet invented the spoons, and it's one of the weirdest things. Like, you never, like, it's as if you knew somebody who invented a some weird turn of phrase that everybody says now, and like I know the person who did that.
Sure, yeah.
Like I remember him inventing. I know what we should do. There's the spoon
first
in
guy
the movie.
To abbreviate fuck my life as FML.
Right. Yes, exactly. He doesn't get a medal for doing that. You just have to take his word for it. Michael Rousselet, if you're ever at a screening of that movie and you get hit in the back of the head with 12 plastic spoons, it's Michael Rousselet's fault.
Liz, how did your husband feel about lost boy band songs?
Well, I lobbied very hard for it to be our first dance number, like the one that we did we went to like Arthur Murray. We like learned how to dance. We were like,
oh, cute.
Whoa. We had like a wedding in the 80s. We did not have a cool 80s wedding, but we did many strange things as if we were in the 80s, like go to Arthur Murray in Van Nuys and learn how to do the box step.
My wife and her dad went to that same Arthur Murray to learn their first dance, mm-hmm. and they did 3 rehearsals, and then all of a sudden her dad was like, not doing it. If one of the guys sees me, I'll never hear the end. I think he said, yeah, it was literally that.
He's concerned about the guys.
Like his country club buds.
Sure.
And he was, I think he said, I don't want to go viral. He was worried he would be the wedding dad joke, and then he could never show his face in public again.
Oh,
but anyway,
so
we were trying to have Arthur Murray representation, and it didn't work out. But anyway, how'd yours go?
It went fine. I don't know if you need to spend a lot of money to like learn how to do very basic ballroom dance steps at your wedding. Listeners, I would not recommend it. No, they were great. They were great. But so anyway, I'd love
one, two. 3?
Right. It's, yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, Peter Pan. Okay. Thanks. No, so I lobbied really hard for Nick Lachey, Falling Slowly, to be our wedding song that we danced to in front of everyone, which he felt, like, vehemently opposed to.
Mm, sure.
So he just, like, felt lucky that it only got played once.
He wanted it to be a Joey Fatone deep cut.
Exactly.
I want it to be Joey Fatone's rendition of the Macarena. What did you guys agree on?
It's a U2 song.
Okay.
Oh. I don't even like U2. No, it's I don't know why I'm blanking right now. It's the theme song from Reality Bites.
Yeah, I can kind of hear it in my head, but yeah, sure.
What is that? Not one.
No, it's I literally got married like 5 seconds ago.
And you
I went
don't
to Arthur Murray
though.
And I danced the song 800 times.
And you, it's.
I'm gonna shout it out in like 10 minutes, and we're on another session.
There are 35-year-old nerds crashing their car right now because they're yelling the name of the song.
Huh? All I want is you. Thank you.
Okay.
All I want is you. Yeah.
Oh.
Which I only like because Reality Bites is my favorite movie.
Okay. Oh, really?
But that's
okay.
Good. So you had a connection as well. It wasn't just my song v your song.
Right.
There was something in it that was that you guys could kind of agree on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Do you like Once, or is that pairing totally just random?
It's just the pairing.
Wow.
I've never even seen Once.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
It's just the most romantic song that has ever been sung in the history of the world.
I wish it was available. Hopefully this podcast will increase its availability.
Yeah. So, hey, sleuths of the internet. I know you're out there. We have two jobs for you. One, the Nick Lachey version of Once. And, you know, hey, fucking let's find that whole Covers album, huh?
Oh, it's so good.
What else do we got on there?
He sings, what does he sing? What a Wonderful World. He sings.
You gotta hear.
Yeah. I mean, Louis Armstrong. Yeah, no. It's fine.
But suck all those Louis-isms out of it. Come on. Just have a regular guy singing it for you.
Just have a nice white singing it.
It's unadorned basic singer.
He hits the Peter Gabriel classic, In Your Eyes.
Well, I would want to hear that.
Oh, my God. He does Sarah McLachlan's Angel.
Okay.
So good.
It sounds like a very good album and all over the place, too.
My favorite album. This is the intersection of everything that I like.
So, okay, Sluson, once you're done digging that one up, also find the library free classic Big Man on the Block.
Yeah.
And hey, if there's a mashup to be made, who am I to say we won't play it on a future episode?
DJ Dennis. We're waiting for
yeah,
you.
Fullerton Dennis.
Fullerton Dennis.
I know you probably only use the internet at the library once a week, but well, yeah, once listen, we've given people a lot to do. Let's take a little bit of a break and we'll be back with perhaps the worst recurring segment on this podcast. That's right, we'll be back with more Jordan Jesse Go.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Guess what, Jordan?
Yes.
We have a sponsor.
I mean, what?
This week. It's our friends at ZipRecruiter.
Hey!
Are you tired of slow recruitment?
Get it zippy. Oh, that's their new slogan. Get it zippy.
Yeah.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates?
Well, here's my suggestion to you. Try ZipRecruiter. You post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter does its work. It gets out there and finds qualified candidates. That's the hardest part of hiring, Jordan. If you want to get unqualified candidates, it's no problem.
Sure.
Just head down the block.
Yell at some guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, 80% of...
You want to run a nuclear power plant?
I guess. I'm unstable. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate through the site in just one day. It's the smartest way to hire.
Right now, my listeners can post... By the way, they're only my listeners.
When my listeners
right
can
now,
get a similar deal.
Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Free. No charge. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. ZipRecruiter. What was it? Zip it up?
Get zippy.
Get zippy, honey. Baby.
Get zippy, honey. Get zippy, honey.
Get zippy, honey.
Hey.
Stitch Fix.
Stitch Fix. They're another sponsor on our show. When a problem comes along, you must stitch it. Stitch Fix.
You know, Jordan, you can tell a guy who's got style. Mm-hmm. It takes a certain skill set not all of us were born with. But now there's an easy way to look better with Stitch Fix Men.
It's a simple way to shop for clothes. You go to stitchfix.com/JJGo. Answer some questions about your size, your budget, and what styles you like.
Gargantuan, modest, and
Elven.
Inflammatory.
All the sizes.
Respectively.
Stitch Fix, it's really fun. They ship you a bag of clothes, and you only pay for what you keep. It's really fun. I used it and got some great stuff. Looking forward to my next Stitch Fix box. It's a little tough to say. It's a tongue twister. But it's also a fun twister.
There's an easy way to remember it. When a problem comes along,
you must stitch it.
Get started now at stitchfix.com/JJGo.
That might be illegal what we're doing. Anyway.
You'll also, fair use, Jordan.
Fair
we're
use.
Commenting on it.
That's right.
It's a parody. Get started now at stitchfix.com/JJGo. You'll get 25% off when you keep all five items in your box. Stitchfix.com/JJGo to get started today. That's stitchfix.com/JJGo. And let's say maybe you're looking for some fun accessories or gift items to go with those clothings. Can I recommend my own shop?
Please do.
The Put This On Shop at putthisonshop.com. We have just received, among other things, what do we got? We've got a ton of cool pins in the shop right now, very old ones to relatively new ones. We've got some silver badges that I brought back from England. There's one that shows that you're a champion of tug-of-war.
Hey.
So if you want to be like the classiest tug-of-war champion ever, the Put This On Shop is the place to go. It's at putthisonshop.com. And if you are a Jordan Jesse Go listener, because you are my personal friend, I will give you free shipping on almost every single thing in the entire store. Just use the code Tuppies.
Tuppies.
Putthisonshop.com and Tuppies. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Scott Gardner, aka Skiz Gardner.
Liz Scudlow, aka Scooty.
Good nicknames, guys.
I had mine in my pocket. That's my Instagram. It's the slightly more wrapped out scissorp version of my name.
So you got even got in a plug in there with your.
Oh,
with
yeah,
your
you're
nickname.
Right. Oh, I'm like dropping them
ruthless,
slowly.
Ruthless
Sugar
ruthless
Rush
Gardner.
Instagram. You always got to be working it.
Sure, you got to. Plugs.
Tween Fest on Go90.
All right. No one knows what that is.
I'm aware.
It's where we watch soccer.
Off brand soccer game.
So, guys, here is what we are about to do. And thank you for joining me on this journey, by the way. This will not be fun.
Oh, God.
No.
So something – how to give background on this. So I am an outspoken proponent of the product, the Bud Light Lime. Have you guys had a Bud Light Lime?
Oh, yeah. It's a Corona.
Yeah. It's basically – it's Bud Light with a little nip of lime. It's a little bit sweet.
Okay.
And I really like these. And I think that, it's a great drink, and especially, in this era of – crafty, complicated beers, appreciated by walking beards. It's nice to, which I enjoy. I enjoy a hoppy local lager as much as the next fella.
The time and a place for it, sure.
But I think we also need to appreciate an easy drinking, inexpensive, mass produced brew.
Sure.
Agree.
And that is what I think the Bud Light Lime is. It's a good summertime drink. You can have a cooler of them for cheap. You can pass them around. You can drink them all day at a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And it's a little slice of heaven. So I'm a big fan of Bud Light Lime. I could not be less of a fan of the Bud Light Lime Orita. I think this is an awful product. And it tastes like this is a tiny malt beverage. that somehow is wishing you thought it was a margarita, one of the more delicious drinks. This is one of the worst drinks. It's an abomination. I would call the taste like the loudest public fight you've had with the worst person you've dated. It's that, but a taste. it's just shame. It's just embarrassment, and it's like a little medicine-y.
Ugh.
So I hate Bud Light Limeritas.
It's really funny. They're just one tick away in name.
Sure,
and yet,
sure. It's a single syllable. It makes all the difference. A single Arita. I guess, you know what? Arita's three syllables.
Yeah. One, two, Arita. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So three simple syllables. But for some weird reason, people think that because I like Bud Light Lime, I appreciate the Arita family of products. And when a new Arita drops, people will get at me on social media asking what I think about it. The mango Rita, the winter specific cranberry-ta, the
burrita.
It's cold. Drink something that's like cranberry. I don't know. The fall classic, the dead leave Rita. No, that's not real.
Jackalita Rita.
Yeah, the pumpkin spice Rita. From time to time, I mean, usually when Jesse is not here because he's a non-drinker, I like to dive into the world of awful malt beverages, taste some new ones, just to re-emphasize the fact that I do not like these.
To prove with your disgust,
yes,
as you
I want
go.
To have on-air disgust that I do not like.
Stop
these.
Recommending.
So before our taping, I stopped by the old BevMo and I got some things I had never seen before, and boy, are they all awful colored. So our first drink today, and I want your guys' opinion. And I definitely like in the time we've been doing this. Have had some that I think have been kind of tasty. I think maybe the last time my fave was the Not Your Dad's Hard Root Beer.
Oh, that's so okay. good.
They are pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I have a bottle opener. I can't imagine these aren't twist-offs.
let's experiment.
Yep, okay. So our first malt beverage here that I got from the BevMo is a Jack Daniel's branded product.
It smells like cough syrup.
It's a Jack Daniel's Down Home Punch. 4.8% alcohol by volume, contains alcohol, down home punch. It's pink. It's very pink. It's so pink. It's almost clear.
I wish you could see me glare at this. There's
like,
no way to hear that.
I would call the color unhealthy urine, like urine you should be worried about.
You would think, as someone who just spent 25 minutes talking about how great Nick Lachey is, that I would love a malt beverage, but I have my reservations.
Now, before we take a sip, I just want to know, and these are only going to get better as they get warmer, guys.
How do you
guys have opinions about this kind of product? Arita or otherwise?
I'm open to them because I also have feelings about, like, you know, beards and IPAs. And so, like, I can drink, like, a dad's hard root beer, but I mean, Jack Daniel's flavored cough syrup is, like...
Yeah. For some reason, don't think we're going to be getting a lot of Jack Daniel's character in this.
It's a in name only. It's like Spielberg producing Tiny Toons or something.
He was on Tiny Toons.
Oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, he would, like, show up. He'd do a – all right, never mind. Will there be as much Jack Daniel's in Down Home Punch as there is Spielberg in Tiny Toons?
All right, well, let's all have a drink and then, and give our thoughts. Down Home Punch.
Oh, it tastes like college.
Yeah.
Phew, boy. I mean, am I torpedoing the thesis of this segment? I don't hate this. I honestly don't hate this.
Yeah.
It tastes better than it smells.
It sure does. It's not overwhelming.
I would have drank this when I was younger, for sure. When I drank sodas, which I do not anymore, this could have been in the mix. And there's some, I don't know, yeah, it's like juice with fizz. It's fine. It's a very begrudging approval on my part.
When I went to college, frats had to be on campus, like in the dorms. It was a very weird system. And then there was a rule that they could only charge $5 for parties. So they would get trash cans and then just like fill them with what was – it was always called jungle juice no matter what was in it. And it tasted a lot like this if it was like a good party.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you're maybe having a little bit of a positive association with this.
I'm at the basement of Fisai.
Scott, Scott, what was it? What was a typical Scott Gardner college party like?
Probably watching things of the hot drinks nature, most likely. Yeah. It's four people gathered around a computer
watching E-bombs world.
Yeah. The old, Although watching, I remember before there was YouTube, watching stuff like what was that? The video "America, We Stand as One." Do you remember that?
Oh, sure.
Like,
yes.
It's this horrible, like patriotic music video with really cheesy production value.
And a guy, it's this guy singing about America, and he's, you know, open shirt, American flag do-rag.
Mm-hmm. Like this Mr. Show character in real life.
Yeah, basically. And he's singing about America on the beach, and there's, like, you know, a lot of, like, superimposed eagle heads.
Yeah,
and then he is hit by a high tide that they have altered to look like the American flag.
The blue has been keyed out as a la a blue screen and turned into red, white, and blue.
So he's hit by this wave of America.
Uh-huh. So my parties were watching things of that nature before they were readily available on YouTube. This is taking me back to there was a big – the one time we did have like a huge – like a big old rager in the dorm. I was in like a triple. It was a corner room, so there were three people in there.
Are always fun.
Yeah,
you know. There's always a party in the triple.
We had kind of an onus to be a party room, even though we were all weird dorks. Although one of the it was me and another odd social miscreant and giant dinosaur nerd, and then a like very sociable guy who became the president of the school.
Oh.
The president of the students, not of the organization. Loyola Marymount. No, he wasn't. The dean emeritus. But so the one time we did have like a big rager. It was specifically a themed bum wine party where we all got a bunch of bottles of different, Mad Dog 2020.
Sure.
Things. This color is taking me back. I feel like our selections were neon pink, neon blue, neon green. And it was a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
There were fights.
And I think we can all look back a little problematic.
To that term, yes.
Kids to be making fun of the homeless.
Like, yes, us.
Different times.
Us kids, some of whom either we have scholarships or our parents are paying for. What if we pretended to be poor? It's pretty
yes.
So this Catholic university. All right. You've pointed out a lot of levels to this. I didn't realize we're so bad.
Well, that's I do. I drop truth bombs.
There we go.
Do another slam bombs. Poem?
Drink a lot of Mad Dog and then do a slam poem. But this, like, because of this party, like, it was a giant, like, girls who came to the party ended up passed out in it was an all-boys dorm, and girls were passed out in the boys' restroom, we got written up. It was a huge thing, and as a result of all this, I had to tell my parents that I'm drinking. Like, that was what caused me to have to explain.
I was holding it for a friend, and I was holding all of them for many friends.
My friend called Yellow and Zebra Stripe. It was a zebra stripe bum one.
Okay. all right. So I think it's time. We have three bottles here. Let's do number two. So this is from a beloved brand on this segment. This is a Smirnoff Ice Watermelon Mimosa. A Smirnoff Ice Watermelon Mimosa. Similar color.
Oh, man.
A little more vibrant. The other one was kind of a cloudy pink.
Yeah, this is like for real clear.
I definitely have. You know, like some of my early drinking was Smirnoff Ice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's embarrassing. And I think people were right to tease me at the time. I've grown out of them, but they have a special place in my heart. I kind of like an easing into alcohol. And I think that's, you know, kind of what they're for and maybe why they're a problem.
A valiant product.
Yeah. but I also, do you guys remember I forget what year this was. If you guys can peg this year, that would be helpful. Do you guys remember the bros icing bros trend?
No.
Were you around for, okay.
I don't. I feel like I might have been working somewhere where you were pressured to do a parody of this of some kind. Like,
yeah. So this
what if like John McCain was icing?
2010.
Oh, okay, that's about right. Yeah. Okay.
So here's how Bros Icing Bros went. And again, I'm glad I'm talking about this before before we actually drink, because the warmer these get, the more they are.
More pure the flavor.
Yeah, like them hot. Hot ices.
Hot ice.
I like a hot ice. So Bros Icing Bros was something that Bros did, and it was where you had a warm Smirnoff Ice on you at all times. And so you would carry a warm ice with you. And if you're a man who does this, you're probably a man who wears giant shorts. Mm-hmm. So you have a place to keep the ice. So that's probably, I mean, I think that's, you know, probably the first thing a lot of us think, well, where are you keeping this ice? Mm-hmm. These guys, they've got a place. They've like, got a place on either side of the short.
Perfect.
I guess it could be in a hat as long as it was contained. Like, sure. If you could find a slot in a visor or, not a lot of options. I guess a fanny pack isn't going to, that's not something a bro
would
do.
Yeah, probably doesn't quite go with that look. But, but it's, you know, where you keep the ice is not important. It has to be consumed.
As long as it's a trick.
And warm.
And you,
And very warm.
Sure. And yes, as long as wherever it is, it's getting hotter by the second. So you have this ice on you, and when you see one of your bros, you have to trick them into seeing the ice. It's kind of like, did you guys ever do that thing where you have to make the little okay sign, and then somebody looks at it, they get punched, or a Dutch oven or something like that?
No, actually.
Yeah.
Well, these are all things that... there's a normal part of growing up, Scott, looking at an okay
me
sign.
Me on my privilege tower, pretending to drink poor person beverages.
You would have played these games ironically. But, so, in 2010, you would get your bro to look at the ice. You would present it to them neck first. You would hold the neck and you would present it to them. Yeah. I guess that's butt first. And then they would have to, whatever they were doing, whatever situation they were in, they would have to drop to one knee and chug the ice in one drink.
Oh.
Bros Icing Bros.
Okay.
Always suspected to be viral marketing for the ice. No one really knew. I think to this day it was a mystery where
Genius.
This got started.
Uh-huh.
But I think this also pointed to a class of men that it didn't matter if they did this in the middle of the day, because it wouldn't affect their day that much.
Also in the basement of Fisei.
Yes, yeah, for sure. So I was working at Fuel TV in 2010. Fuel TV, RIP, was the television network devoted to skateboarding, snowboarding, and the other action sports.
Oh.
So I had a summer of being iced.
Oh, God.
So.
It was just part of the culture there?
Yep, you were doing it. You would get iced. You would have to drop to one knee and pound it. If you were working, but also no one looked at you weird because that was just where you worked.
So, 10 times a day.
Yeah.
A lot of liver damage that you sustained in that time.
Yeah. Many Fuel TV ended not because the ratings were bad, because everyone died. The last surviving member. Me and Chris Fairbanks, the only two who made it out of Fuel TV alive. We just had traditional ices. We did not have the Smirnoff Ice, Watermelon Mimosa, which we are going to try.
It smells exactly like a Watermelon Jelly Rancher.
Yeah, it sure does. Oh, way worse. Way worse. Way worse. This is bad.
Oh,
no.
This is literally for middle schoolers. This is the gateway drink.
Sure. I don't
know. Smirnoff was like, how can we get 11-year-olds to like alcohol more? Make it taste like Jolly Ranchers.
Not enough drunk 11-year-olds.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I loved this in ninth grade.
Sucks.
Like if there was a drink that was like Handy Snacks. Or, if the Gusher Gush was alcohol.
Sure, yeah, if it was a little shot.
That's a good idea, actually.
Fuck, that is kind of
a nice donation to the Gusher Company.
Yeah. Adult Gushers. Gushers for daddy.
Not your daddy's.
Not your daddy's.
Oh, wait, what is your daddy's Gusher?
Yeah, this sucks. It's amazing how close it looks to the Jack Daniels one, but it just tastes so much worse.
Yeah, I might
so
have to go back
acidic.
And forth.
Yeah, I am going to wash the taste of the Smirnoff Ice out of my mouth with the Jack Daniels Down Home Punch.
Oh, if my parents could see me holding both bottles at the same time.
Our sons made it.
Did you ever play? Do you guys know John Chernin? He created the Mick on Fox.
I do not.
I don't work there. I'm not plugging it. Although it's great.
Sure.
We went to college together, and he had what was called the 40s party every Tuesday. And he was a sophomore. I was a freshman. We were like dying to get invited. I finally did. And so we got like full blown 40s, like I guess it's like 30s, but like flapper costumes. And like, so we roll in deep in these like basically like Halloween costumes. It was a fucking 40s malt liquor party.
and you're like, where's the hooch? We're here for the...
And every Tuesday, like, dozens of kids would hang out in his room to play Edward 40 Hands. And so, like, my secret skill is having malt liquor duct taped to both hands and drinking them very quickly.
Oh, boy.
Which you can do while wearing a trench coat, a Carmen Sandiego style. I don't know what you... I'm in trouble naming 40s female stuff. Attire.
Yeah,
but...
I think I was, like, sort of, like, gangster. Like, I got, like, some sort of, like, you know, I was, like,
like
19.
An Al Capone
like a
kind
bustier.
Of thing. Sure, sure.
Okay, sure.
You know, something about my tits out.
Beads.
Yeah, boy, no thank you, Smirnoff Ice. Yeah. So we got one more. We got one more malt here. This is from the Not Your Father's Family, which has expanded since we last did this segment. So the Not Your Father's Root Beer was something that I remember we kind of liked, and it's expanded. There's now a Not Your Mother's Apple Pie, which is like a cider type thing, I think. Mm-hmm. But this is Not Your Father's Mountain Ale. So, what I think this is signaling with the name and the color...
is it Mountain Dew?
Which I think it is supposed to be an alcoholic Mountain Dew variant.
Citrus brew.
I have had the apple pie one. It's a lot. It's good, but it's a lot.
Yeah, this is 5% alcohol by volume. And actually, I don't think I said the Smirnoff Ice alcohol by volume. I think it's an important fact that people want to know. 5.8%. Mm-hmm. So the Smirnoff Ice will get you the most fucked up out of these. So
maybe, one thing going
yeah,
for
maybe
it.
Maybe hold your nose and pound it.
These are not twist off.
These are not okay. Here, I can grab. I got a thing here we can use. It's a bottle opener. I'll pass it around.
No need to break.
So yeah, how do you guys feel about a Mountain Dew non-alcoholic? Do you guys is that something you guys will have from time to time? I was never a Dew guy.
I know, not even when I drank soda. How is it different, actually, than Sprite or 7-Up?
Super caffeinated, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it tastes sort of like Gatorade-y almost.
Oh, okay.
Mind.
So a little, because those are like a notch away from like a lime sparkling water or something. Like Sprite's closer to that, but Mountain Dew's a little fakier, a little.
Yeah, the last time I had one was when I was at probably like 3 in the morning on like a night shoot. When you're like, I can't have more coffee, but I have to stay awake and watch Kevin Bacon, you know, beat up bad guys.
Yeah, so, that's a very relatable scenario you laid out.
Yeah, so I had a lot of diet Mountain Dews back in my following days.
Okay, all right. Uh-huh. A lot of diet Dews. Mm-hmm. Does Bacon have a diet Dew?
No,
some Bacon facts.
Oh, I've only ever seen, he's super nice, I've only ever seen him eat raw, like, greens.
Wow.
Like, they'd roll in, like, a sushi chef, and, like, they'd be, like, hand-making sushi to order, and he would eat, like... a piece of spinach, or like a leaf of kale.
Hey,
yeah, he's in great shape.
That's why he's the best.
Yeah,
looking sharp. Babe.
All right. So yeah. So the color of this is, is like alien. You would see on a '90s Cat in the Hat. You guys know these aliens, right?
So yeah. Wait a minute. What you mean, like the
I know what you're talking about?
Like the that Area 51 jerky on the way to Vegas?
Yes, exactly.
That kind of alien, alien.
Mm-hmm. So let's have a sip. I in general have good feelings about the brand. I'm hoping this will be tasty.
It's like Fresca. It tastes just like Fresca.
It is a little bit of Fresca. Mm-hmm. There is a little hint of Fresca in this,
huh?
I know my yellow sodas, guys.
Yeah, clearly. A little Fresca head over here.
Not quite a mellow yellow. It's
but it's in that zone.
It's not a Not Your Father's mellow yellow.
Yeah.
I dig it. It's a little... Yeah, it feels more like something I would drink. It's closer to the family of what I would drink than pink watermelon type stuff. I'm also engrossed by the Mountie, the rugged mountain man...
Yeah.
On the bottle,
there's kind of an explorer guy or a prospector type,
a Lewis or a Clark in that like line drawn political cartoon style.
Right, he's holding a stick that says tariffs on it.
Makes a good point about robber barons.
Pig. Yeah, oh, curse that Tammany Hall.
See, I like this bottle because if you're trying to be the cool girl at the party, you know,
which
you're like
I am usually.
I just want a woodchuck cider, but everyone's gonna. Like, you know, it's like the pumpkin spice
of
party drinks. You could hold this and people would think you were drinking like a pretentious IPA.
Yeah.
Like, the bottle is pretty good. Oh. Like, it looks beery enough that you could probably get away with it.
Yeah. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is something good for people who maybe don't have that sophisticated beer palate, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, still want to present like a
live world.
Curated beverage. Sure. Something that was carefully crafted.
I think the name of the company is Small Town Brewery. So yeah, they definitely have that old timey gastropubby type marketing. But for what is essentially a dirtbag teenager in Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A slightly classier.
Yeah, it tastes like Mountain Dew and Fresca, baby.
Yeah. So not, you know, this and I think this is a big problem with these types of beverages is that the drink is not bad, but the aftertaste kicks, mm-hmm, kicks you in the what have yous.
Mm-hmm. there's an accrued effect after three of them for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coating of the throat doesn't feel too great at this point.
Yeah. Great to be talking into a microphone with a mucusy mouth full of sugar.
Yeah. Am I smacking? Do I sound more disgusting than half an hour ago?
Yeah. This is worse than our Jolly Rancher taste test, which we did last week.
Oh boy.
So I think I'm okay. I think if I'm gonna rank these Smirnoff Ice way, way down at the bottom, avoid, mm-hmm, this product, avoid the watermelon mimosa, bring it up the middle. It's the mountain ale, and I think my fave is this Jack Daniel's Down Home Punch. This is not terrible. If there was a little cooler of these at a barbecue, I might drink one.
Yeah. That's a tough. I'm almost tempted to go. I don't know. I was starting to lean towards Mountain Ale, the green one, but I kind of had the least to say about it. Maybe I'm the most fond of the Jack Daniel's Down Home Punch in general. It was the most striking at the top. Yeah, I might do the same order as you.
Okay. Liz, do you have any thoughts?
I'm literally double fisting now, going back and forth. Yeah. You know, I hate whiskey and I hate Jack Daniel's, but you might be right. I think it might be the down home punch.
All right, guys. Well, we're calling Jack Daniel's Down Home Punch the official malt beverage of Jordan Jesse Go. Everything else can go fuck itself. We'll be right back with more Jordan Jesse Go.
In celeb news this week, the hosts of Lady to Lady took a break from hanging with today's hottest comedians, actors, and writers to sell a sex machine. What'd they do with all that cash?
Rent a party bus to go to Magic Mike Live in Vegas, of course. All of this on the heels of a salacious sizzler session with Home Alone 4-star French Stewart.
Want to know what the f*** we're talking about? Tune into Lady to Lady whenever, wherever you listen to podcasts. Can you keep a secret? Neither can we.
Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Old Skiz Gertie.
Liz Fedlow, the tits in the room? I don't even know.
No, no, that's good.
I mean, there's pressure to be female all of a sudden.
Sure, yeah.
I've been drinking malt beverages.
And feeling very feminine.
So feminine.
Yeah. I mean, you drink enough pink sugar water and you start to feel like a lady.
We'll end up with tits before you know it.
That's Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah, sure. Tits in a bottle. Smirnoff Ice. You want some ovaries, fellas? From time to time on the show, and by from time to time, I mean every single episode just about, we like to turn it over to our answering machine and our lovely listeners who have given us a call at 206-9844-FUN and left us a message. Brian, let's see who has called the hotline this week.
Hi, this is a longtime listener from Canada. I'm being deliberately anonymous. I asked my wife for permission, and she gave it with her blessing. So I'm currently at the airport. I'm about to fly away to spend a week on a tropical island on a private beach with my mistress, which I'm quite looking forward to. So that sound you hear is me punching a blimp. Get him, get him, get him. Bye.
Wow. Okay.
Hmm.
Sure. Thank you for sharing.
It's real? Is this a real tale?
No, we have a penthouse forum. I never thought I'd be making this call. So for you guys, Punch a Blimp is our slogan for this year. It's a kind of an inspiring phrase people can use to motivate themselves.
Oh, and empowering. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, punch that blimp. You know, who knows?
Crack the whip, ride the snake.
Yeah, crack the whip, ride the snake, punch the blimp.
It fits right in.
And you know what? I have to appreciate that it's happening on a tropical island, because usually, you know, those mistresses get relegated to Motel 6s, Double Trees.
Yeah.
And I think, personally, I think the mistresses of the world deserve better.
Well, the thing that's shocking to me, I mean, he sounded very Canadian. I believe that he's from Canada.
Sure.
I spent last summer filming there, and I didn't know they're so nice. I didn't know the Canadians took mistresses.
Yeah.
Like, they're just the nicest people. So... But his wife's down. She seemed, I mean...
Yeah, so clearly...
He's nice enough to ask permission.
Yeah, right. Yes, this is the most Canadian affair. Would it be okay with you if I fucked another woman on a tropical island? Sure, I don't want to put you out.
Oh, man. Yep.
You could use the rest.
Yeah.
You'll probably pick up some skills you can bring home to me.
Sure, yeah. Just stop by the Tim Hortons on the way home. That's all I know about Canada.
Is there? I love the Sky Dome in Toronto. Is a
beautiful,
great place.
Beautiful
to see
dome.
A game.
Beautiful dome.
Whatever that the Skylon Tower. And now that's all I know.
Okay.
I just thought I'd throw them in.
Did you find when you were in Canada? Did you find it to be a hot and nasty sexual nation? Because this call seems to be pointing to a real fuckfest north of our borders.
I mean, right? No, you know, I was in rural Nova Scotia, which is so far east, it's 4 hours out of California.
Okay.
And you guys probably have not read Anne of Green Gables, but it's like very similar.
Okay.
I think it's probably the only crew I've ever been on that I haven't fucked anyone.
Sure. It's not, it was not horny.
No, not at all. It was like polite. Everyone was lovely.
Sure.
Yeah.
And everybody's just frozen, frigid, I guess.
Cold. So cold.
Yeah, I guess there is too cold to fuck. Yeah. I guess that is something.
That's why, you got to go tropical if you want to do it.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's, maybe that's hence the tropical island. Huh. Maybe they're just trying to get away from that, from that.
From the cold.
From that cold that makes you want to leave it in your pants.
But is that your vacation money? Like, if I'm the wife, I'm like, you can go fuck that woman, like, give me the night off, but like. I want to go on a tropical vacation.
Right.
Is the mistress funding this island?
Maybe the mistress is paying.
I hope so.
I mean, I think I like to think that we're in a new, more enlightened area where the mistress can pay.
I hope so.
I mean, who are we to assume that the man pays for the illicit fuckfest?
Right.
She has her own money.
Or she may be an heiress to something.
Yeah.
To the Tim Hortons.
Oh, sure. It's Jenny Horton.
She's a younger Horton.
And I also, I would like to know, I want a little bit more information on the story. I mean, hopefully, either the wife is, has a bone down. Or a vagina down.
Sure.
Happening in Canada or offsite somewhere herself. Maybe on a different tropical island.
Mm-hmm. Or just across the border.
Sure. Like, Seattle.
Sure.
I could have Seattle.
Detroit.
Yeah, it could be a Detroiter, yes.
It might be a good old Detroit fuckfest.
Or maybe like a Wayne Gretzky cousin. I mean, there's a lot of like strapping hockey guys up there.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she timed his vacation. They coordinated it to where... a Calgary Flame is in town
Perfect.
For only that, for a triple header. Yeah. And
isn't that why they refer to the mullet as cunnilingus handlebars? Because you're getting your
Perfect.
Box munched by a member of the Calgary Flame. Well, yes, Canada, you're a sexy nation. Brian, do we have any other phone calls?
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. This is Nathan from Louisville calling with an update on my recent momentous occasion. I found out that my upstairs neighbor's shitty, loud boyfriend was, in fact, a wanted criminal and ratted him out and had him sent to jail. Jordan had asked how bad of a bad dude he was. Well, to clarify, apparently... not so much of a bad dude that due to prison overcrowding, he has been released into the home incarceration system. So he is now serving out the remainder of his sentence without ever being able to leave the apartment above mine. It's not stopping him from practicing his kick flips or working on his rap mixtape at all hours of the night. I hate my life. Have a good day.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So, yes, I'm sure you guys picked up. This is a clarification on a call from a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Imagine. I mean, I don't know what you're – I mean, Liz, I've been to your place. You don't have – you don't share walls with anyone. You're a homeowner.
Sure am.
I am an apartment renter. Scott, do you guys have – do you guys have neighbors on either side or above or below?
Below, I think we're the problem because we'll stomp around with workouts and – oh, I have a weird old keyboard, an old Wurlitzer Electric that they asked me to stop playing because it's one of – I think like it's – there's like vibrations that were going straight down into the floor, and I took the request. I wasn't as brazen as this criminal who's kicking and flipping.
Rapping.
I guess so. I don't know. He's living a cool life. I don't like that he's disrupting anyone else's situation, but boy, he's making the best of the house arrest.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to be under house arrest, you might as well get better at your skateboard tricks and record that mixtape you've been meaning to get to and write that novel.
Because once I'm out there in the world, I can skate to my concerts and show off my cool moves.
When I was a teacher, we used to have a lot of kids come back from they call in California. This is, I think, a California thing. They call juvenile detention centers camp.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. That's
like,
fun.
Yeah, it's like Camp Nathaniel or whatever.
Sure.
So the kids come back from camp, and if they're on house arrest, they have these anklets they wear.
Yeah.
Underneath pants. And I was like 22 when I was teaching, and I didn't know about the anklets. And if you try to take them off, they make this noise to like alert you, like, hey, you're jostling it too much. Be careful, your parole officer is going to show up. So the kids in my English class, you know, we'd be like reading Romeo and Juliet or whatever. And if you kicked your ankles at the right angle, they would. Like it would beep. It would like, you're like, right. You know, in the middle of my classroom. And the kids used to fuck with me all of the time. Like I would, and I'd say like, everyone put your hands in the air. And it would still be beeping. And I'm like, how are they pressing their cell phones? like it's illegal to confiscate phones in LAUSD, but I would like take all of their phones and think that I'd solved it. And then so finally some kid was like, no, it's
kicking
a house
our ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Those wacky kids coming back from Camp Nathaniel with their house arrest anklets. Well, caller, thank you so much for clarifying. Sorry about the hell which you now live in. If you have a call for us, why don't you place it at 206-984-4FUN, and maybe you'll hear yourself on the podcast. We'll be back in just a second with more Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. Hi there. I'm comedian and movie buff Ricky Carmona, and I'm excited to tell you about a new show I'm doing called Who Shot Ya? Join me, LA Weekly film critic April Wolf.
I'm going to call Star Wars when it comes out the Clint Howard Project.
Film reviews editor for The Wrap, Alonzo Duraldi.
Everything Charlize Theron knows about killing somebody with a high-heeled shoe she learned from single white female, trust me.
And our dope-ass friends each week.
The stunt guys were asking me, like, do you need a stunt double in here for you to skate? I'm like, no, I was on skates at 3.
So if you're tired of whack opinions and you're looking for a smart, funny film discussion show, check out Who Shot Ya, Son? That's what we do. And you can find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
Hanging with old Scott's Scott's Grizzle. I'm trying to change it slightly every time. Yeah, hey, what's up, Scott's the Gurr Man.
And I'm Liz Scudlow, already hungover from my Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. It's like a headache in a bottle.
Call out of work the next 2 days.
Sorry,
I had 4 sips.
I highly recommend running a half marathon and then drinking Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, yeah.
Watermelon mimosa.
Sure. The malt beverage choice of marathon runners everywhere.
Put on that tinfoil thing and then use it as a funnel for Smirnoff Ice.
Thank you guys so much for being on the program.
Absolutely.
Now is the time in the show where we tell listeners some things they would want to know about you, your online presence, your upcoming projects. Liz, do you have anything to tell us about at this time?
Oh shit. No, I mean no. I'm a television writer. I have two pilots. I have a comedy at TBS currently and a drama at Hulu.
Sure.
But neither one of them has been officially greenlit, so there's nothing that you can watch.
So listen, just if you're out there, make sure that Hulu subscription stays paid up.
Thank you.
if you lost a card that you used to pay for it, make sure you switch the card because sometimes anyway.
Date that auto renew or let it lapse. I was going to say let it lapse for a little bit until your show is on, but then what if that affects the money that is not there to make the show?
Just keep the Hulu subscriptions paid up.
Yeah, please.
You're on the Twitter. People could follow you there if
yes,
they wanted
I'm
to.
At Liz Scudlow. It's S-C-Z-U-D-L-O. I just kicked my mic.
Yeah.
Sorry,
good
listeners.
Thing, good thing it didn't set off your police ankle bracelet. That would have been very annoying for everyone.
Do you remember the sound?
Was it that?
It was sort of like that. It was like a weird, it sounded like a cell phone. It was like.
Okay.
It wasn't like an alarm.
Nice.
I was going to say, maybe a cool sample idea for that upstairs rapper.
the sound of a child's ankle bracelet going off.
Next time you're making a beat.
Well, maybe that's a fun thing they can do to, feel more like normal kids is find some way to personalize it. Ringtones.
Right?
Oh, get sure. Crazy Frog on there.
A voice sample from Anchorman or Old School. Or,
or just that hook we love from Big Man Around Town.
Big Man on the Block.
Oh, yeah.
Here I come!
If a guy's like trying to like carefully sneak somewhere and not catch police attention, and then like, okay, let me just big man on the block, sirens,
firing your guns.
wait!
The big man's here. It's coming. Scott Gardner, you have many hilarious viral videos people could check out via Funny or Die. I might suggest the Tiny Fuppets series.
I've always appreciated that you enjoy Tiny Fuppets.
Love
that's
those
my
Fuppets.
Favorite one, one to hear.
South American Muppet Baby.
Yes. A Portuguese Muppet Baby equivalent technically I brought it to America,
sure,
but it was really made by a Portuguese animator named Arturo Lima. And you can go to tinyfuppets.com and watch all their adventures. Tiny Fuppets is out there, and
you also have something that I think our listeners would really like to check out. You have a new podcast about theme parks.
Yes, the world of theme parks. It's called Podcast the Ride, I'm having so much fun with it. I'm very excited. I haven't done a podcast before, so that in and of itself is really fun. And it's myself and Mike Carlson and Jason Sheridan, who were two very funny UCB World Improv folks, and we met within that a sphere of like the LA comedy scene, but also they are massive theme park dorks, as am I, which I was shocked to find people who both do comedy and are like encyclopedic theme park nerds, like who we all went to the same blogs and sites that catalog this stuff. We're all nerds to the degree. Like literally last night, I was at the Smokehouse in Burbank, and
so good. I've never
I loved
been to the
it.
Smokehouse.
Oh, it's we should do it
night.
Sometime. Yeah,
I'm driving
it's,
by it these days. So anyway.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful to look at. Great inside.
And Kiefer Sutherland is always there.
Oh,
really?
What?
Oh.
Well, no. Right now he's in Canada. Canada filming a Designated Survivor. But when he's in Los Angeles,
he's in Canada fucking the wives of guys who are on a desert island
on a sexual Airbnb tour.
But yeah, fun fact, if he is not in Canada filming Designated Survivor, he is at the Smokehouse buying everyone drinks.
Oh, no kidding.
Get there.
Oh, my dad was just at that bar. I wonder if he was with him. I wonder if he was bought a drink and didn't tell me by Kiefer. Anyway, I was at the Smokehouse last night and I saw from across the room a pioneering Disney Imagineer. Probably was not a very typically recognized person. I did not bother him, but I this is how large Imagineer loom for me that I can see them in crowded restaurants and
it was my idea to send Mr. Toad to hell. Get Mr. Toad's wild ride.
And to teach those kids a lesson,
my kid was killed by a drunk driver.
Oh, she's really saying he's your Nick Lachey.
Yeah, I think so. Just gets the I want to hear his covers album. Imagineer Tony Baxter's covers album. But we're all super obsessed in a very nerdy fashion about theme parks. parks. There are, so we try to do. We have a podcast now where we try to. I think it's kind of like dissecting theme park rides and theme parks in like a classic album kind of way. We want people to start being into theme parks in that kind of like a completist cataloging way, like appreciating the art of it and the oddity of it. And yeah, we've had so much fun going into this stuff.
And people can check that out wherever they get their podcasts. Or
that's correct. Yeah. iTunes. We do it through Feral Audio. They've been great. And podcast The Ride. And you can follow me at Scott Gardner on Twitter, and I'll post about those episodes and other stuff I got cooking up. And Skiz Gardner on Instagram.
I don't think the handle's working out very well for you.
No, and also, how is that spelled? I don't want to take your time to spell it on your podcast.
Just go through the first couple. It's one of those.
Also, just search my name, and you'll see the other name. Check things out.
Thank you very much for tuning in. You can discuss the show on Reddit, r/MaxFun. Is that the Maximum Fun? Max Fun. There you go. Maximum Fun there on Reddit. hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. Leave us an iTunes review while you're at it. Gosh darn it. Helps people find the show. I'm at Jordan_Morris on Twitter. Jesse Thorne back next week, probably.
If there's drinks.
Yeah, exactly. This is now a malt beverage podcast. No, yeah, you can go fuck yourself, Jordan. That's what he would say. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.